Chana, and Chana was the wife of Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives, Penina and Chana. Penina had children, Chana didn't. Penina used to chepper Chana and bother her about the fact that she did not have children. Chana davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, Chazal tell us that Penina specifically did this in order to get Chana to daven. Chana davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where we're at right now in the story. Chana davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow her to have a child. So if you look, take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Navi tells us, Vatidor neder vatomar, Chana took a neder. We find the Mefarshim tell us that a neder is always something that's very appropriate in Eis Tzara, when a person's in a time of distress, when a person's in a difficult, challenging time. It's a good time to take a neder, to promise, to take a Kabbalah upon ourselves, something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see and say, oh, that person, he, she is trying to improve themselves, I want to help them out. So that's what Chana did here, Vatidor neder. Some say she took a double neder, one neder that he would be a Talmid Chacham, the Al-Sheikh says in another neder that he would be a Nazir. Vatomar, and she said the following, Hashem Tzvakos, right, using the name of Hashem, Hashem Tzvakos, we'll talk about that in a moment. Imra'o sireba ani amosecha. If you see my affliction, your maidservant, uzachartani velos yishkach es amosecha, and you remember me and you don't forget me, your maidservant, v'nasata la'amoscha zera anashim, and you give me, your maidservant, literally, zera anashim, descendants that are men. We'll see what that means in a moment. V'nasativ la'ashem kol yemei chayav, I will give him, consecrate him, dedicate him to Hashem all the days of his life. U'mora lo yale al rosho. So let's go piece by piece, discuss the pasuk, and then we'll move on. Imra'o sireh. So some of the Mefarshim say, interestingly, the double language, Imra'o sireh, the Al-Sheikh says this, that she says, I know my husband is worthy of having a child. I know my husband is worthy of having another child. Elkanah, as we mentioned several weeks ago, was a big tzaddik. Many knew him. He was known for his tzidkus, for his ways. He would come up to Shiloh consistently to be makriv korbanos around the times of the Yomim Tovim. Imra'o sireh, I know that Elkanah is ra'oi to have a child. But what about me? It could be with another woman. It could be he'll have a child with another woman. He had many children with Penina. He could have a child with another woman. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it with me. That's double language, Imra'o sireh. You, I know Elkanah is deserving of it, but I want to be deserving of it as well. Uzichartani v'lo sishkach. Some say that the double language there was that she was davening for boys and girls. In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her a boy, as we know Shmuel. But the Radak says that according to the Medrash, she was davening for boys and girls. V'nasata la'amoscha zera anoshim. Now here many of the Mefarshim say zera anoshim means that she was davening for a boy. Right, she was davening for a boy. Why? Because she wanted this boy to be a leader, to be someone who would work in the Beis Hamikdash, to be someone who would be a Navi, who would be a Shofet, who would lead the Jewish people. So she was specifically davening for a boy. But the Mefarshim say also that Zera Anoshim means that she wasn't davening for a regular boy. She was davening for a chash of a boy. She was davening for a boy that would be unique, that would be special, that would be somebody different than everyone else. That's Zera Anoshiv. That's Zera Anoshim, I'm sorry. Unisativ la'ashem kol yimei chayav. Says the Navi, says Chana, I will give him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will dedicate him all the days of his life. He's going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're going to see in a few psukim that she meant this literally all the days of her life. Umora lo yale al rosho. Some understand this to mean that he would be a Nazir, and I think the Chabad translates it here also, that a razor, one second, it's blocking my translation, no razor shall come upon his head. Right, so that's stating that he will be a Nazir. He can't get any sort of haircut. But some of the Mefarshim say that here that Mora means that he will not have a master over him at any time, meaning that he will not fear anyone besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will only have the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his mind, in his heart, and he will not fear anyone else. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu umora lo yale al rosho, which again implies the great tzidkus and the righteousness and the special unique character of who Shmuel was to be. Pasuk Yud Beis, v'haya ki hirbasa lehispalel. She was davening to a great extent. She was davening a long, long Shmona Esrei lifnei Hashem. Ve'eli shomer es piha. And Eli was waiting. He was waiting, watching, to find out what's going on here. As in the Pasuk, Aviv Shomaras Hadavar. Sometimes the language of Shomer can also be used to mean that he was waiting and watching to see what would happen. Now, V'haya, says the Al-Sheikh, V'haya implies a simcha, implies a joy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy here. And if you remember back to what we spoke about, that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Chana and Akara, made her barren to begin with, was so that she would turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven and connect with him. So here it's happening, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's overjoyed. V'haya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's happy, he's overjoyed that finally Chana is turning to me, she's davening to me, she's connecting with me. And what was she doing? Ki hir besalli hispalo. She was davening a lot. She was davening a lot. And here, the Radak brings different opinions. Some say this was a good thing that she was davening a lot. Some say this wasn't such a good thing. Sometimes, you know, we have to trust Hashem. We'll see in a little bit that she was a little bit too specific. And some of the things she said came back to bite her. And in a sense, says the Radak, maybe part of the lesson here is to recognize that we have to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to daven that He does what's best for us. We don't always know what's best for us. Sometimes we think X, Y, or Z is best for us. It's not always true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best for us. So sometimes we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, I don't really know what's best for me. Please allow whatever's best to happen. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, ensure that whatever's best for me will happen. And perhaps she was a little bit too verbose and davened a little bit too much. That's according to one opinion in the Radak. The Eli Shomer Espiha, Eli was waiting to see what would happen. Now the Malbim has a fascinating approach here, fascinating interpretation. And the Malbim says that that there are two types of tefillah. One type of tefillah is when the person davens directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other type of tefillah is when the person davens to an intermediary, that the intermediary should intercede on their behalf to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this is a little bit of a tricky concept, and there are some that would say this is off limits, out of bounds. You know, you can't talk about davening to an intermediary. We don't daven to Malachim, we don't do anything of the sort, we daven only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Malbim says, if you look at the Malbim here on Pasuk Yud Beis, the Malbim says that there are two types of tefillah. And there are some times where we daven directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes where we daven to an intermediary, such as a Malach, or something else of that nature, which to help us, and which explains, by the way, sometimes in our tefillah we say things like Machnisei Rachamim, right, which is the paragraph, even though some are not happy about that tefillah, but it is in the nusach of Slichos Machnisei Rachamim, where we dive into the Malachim to bring in our Rachamim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we do find examples throughout tefillah of different texts that talk about Malachim and talk about others interceding on our behalf. Anyway, so he says that we have these two categories of tefillah. When we daven straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't need to be long. And it doesn't need to be out loud. We could daven silently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're thinking. He knows what's in our hearts, what's in our minds. And we just daven quickly to Him, quietly, and that's it, and it's done. And not only that, but we're davening just for Hashem's chesed. We're not claiming to Hashem that we deserve whatever good thing we're davening for. We're just asking Hashem for His chesed, for His kindness, that's what we're asking for. On the other hand, when we daven to an intermediary to intercede on our behalf to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, we have to daven out loud. Because, as the Malbim says, Malachim can't understand. They don't know what's in our heart and what's in our mind. They're not God. Number two, we're davening to the Malachim, we're telling them that we're worthy. We're telling them that, you know what, we're really worthy for this thing to happen. Can you please intercede on our behalf and ensure that it happens? So we can't just daven so quickly. So we have to daven out loud, and we have to elaborate a little bit on all of our zechuyos, our merits, why we're deserving of the good that we're asking from Hashem. And it takes a while. So it's loud, it's out loud, it takes a long time, and we're explaining exactly why we're worthy. And here is where Eli got confused, says the Malbim. Eli Shomer Espiha. Why is Eli confused? She's davening, leave her alone. What's Eli waiting for? Eli Shomer Espiha, why is Eli waiting? Says the Malbim, because Eli was confused. Eli looks at her and he sees a woman davening quietly. And he says, if you're davening quietly, that means that you're davening straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if that's the case, it shouldn't take so long, because you're really just davening quickly and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His chesed. So what's kihir b'salli yispal lifnei Hashem? Why are you davening so long? So Eli's very confused. Is she davening straight to Hashem or is she davening to an intermediary? And that's why Eli waited to find out what was going on here. Let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'chana hi medaberes aliba. So it says Chana was medaberes aliba. The Mefarshim here say, what does that mean? What does that mean that she was medaberes aliba? That she had very intense kavana. She had very intense kavana here. She was davening quietly and had intense kavana. Raks faseha naos. Only her mouth was moving. No words could be heard. V'kola lo yishamea. Her mouth, her voice could not be heard. V'yachsheveha Eli lishikora. And Eli thought her to be drunk. Now here also, some of Farshim understand that he really thought she was drunk because she's all confused. She's davening a long tefillah, and then she's davening quietly. What's going on? This is not, she's all mixed up. She must be drunk. Some say that Eli knew, that she wasn't drunk. But Eli is claiming to her that you look like you're drunk. I know you're not drunk. I know you're fine. But you're doing something strange. You look like you're drunk. Which is also an interesting point, because generally, you know, we have this feeling that we don't care about what other people think of us. You know, we're going to do what we're going to do, and we don't really care what other people think. But it seems from here that Eli is saying, not so simple. You know, Chana, even if you're not drunk, don't act like you're drunk. Don't daven in a strange way that's going to tip people off and say, you know, there's something wrong with this woman. You know, she's acting out of sorts. She's acting drunk. Now we have to be normal. There is a mila. There's something to acting in a normal way, acting in a normal fashion, blending in with everyone around us, and not standing out, and not acting in a strange manner. Pasuk Yedalet, Vayomer Eleha Eli. So Eli says to her, Admosai Tishtakarin. How long are you going to be drunk for? And again, right? The question is he really talking? Did he really think she was drunk, or he's just saying, how long are you going to act drunk? Hasiri es yeneich me'olayich. Remove your wine. Right? Remove the effects of your wine from you. So again, if you say that Eli understood that she was really drunk, what he's saying is that you have to leave. Also, a person is not allowed to come into the Mishkan if they're drunk. Right? If they drank too much wine, a person is not allowed to come into the Mishkan. So Eli's saying, according to this approach, that he really thought she was drunk. Listen, lady, if you drank something, that's fine, but you can't be here. You can't be here in this state. Please leave. Hasiri es yeneich me'alayich. You know, remove. Take some time to remove the effects of the wine, and then come back and daven. And if we take the approach that he didn't actually think she was drunk, but he thought, you know, she was acting drunk. What's he saying? Hasiri es yeneich me'alayich. Stop acting this way, right? Stop acting this way. You have to act normal. You have to be like a normal person. Answers Chana pasuk tesvav. Vatan Chana vatomer lo adoni. Chana answers him and says, no, my master. Ishak shas ruach anochi. She says, I'm a broken-hearted woman. I'm a broken woman. V'yayin v'shecher lo shasisi. I didn't drink anything. So again, if he thinks that she really did drink, she's saying, I did not. If he's saying she just acted drunk, she's saying, listen, I'm not acting drunk, I'm acting broken-hearted. Ve'eshpoch es nafshi lifnei Hashem. And I'm just pouring out my soul before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I'm doing here. That's why I'm acting this way. Lo Adoni, the Gemara says, Rashi quotes the Gemara, it's a Gemara in Brachos, which darshins a great deal of this perek. Brachos around Daf Lamed Aleph. We'll talk about it one of the other Gemaras in a few minutes. So, according to the Gemara says, Vatomer lo Adoni. She's saying, Eli, you're not a master. If this is what you think, if you think that I'm drunk or acting drunk, then your Ruach HaKodesh is a little rusty. Because if you can't really tell what I'm doing, then something's off with you. Not with me. Something's off with you because you're supposed to be a big tzaddik and you're supposed to have Ruach HaKodesh. But there's something deficient in your Ruach HaKodesh if this is how you're perceiving me. Right? And I think it's also an important lesson for us that sometimes the way we think of others, it's not due to a deficiency in them, but it's due to a deficiency in us. Right? Sometimes, you know, our perspective is skewed, and that's why we see others in the way that we do. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with them. You know, we're judging this person that way and this person this way. Sometimes it's us, and it's not them. And that's what Chana is telling him. Lo Adoni, it's not me, it's you. Your glasses need a little polishing, right? Your perspective is skewed. It's not that I'm doing anything wrong. And such an important piece also says the Ralbag. You know, if we look at the end of this pasuk, what does it say? Ve'eshbo chesnafshi lifnei Hashem. This is what tefillah is all about, says the Ralbag. She's saying, I'm davening. What's davening? Davening is eshbo chesnafshi lifnei Hashem. When we pour out our souls to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's what tefillah is really all about. We know that we learn many of the halachos of tefillah from Chana. The fact that she davened silently, as the pasuk just said, which we read, Raks tefaseh ha'naos v'kola lo yishamea. From there we learn that we're supposed to daven silently. That's why Shmoneh Esrei is daven silently. We daven it quietly. We're supposed to hear a little bit our voices, but others around us, even the person next to us, should not be hearing our voice. So we learn many of the halachos of tefillah from Chana. Says the Rabbak, not just the halachos, but the hashkafa, the perspective of tefillah, we also learn from Chana. Ve'eshboch es nafshi lifnei Hashem. If we go through our tefillah and we're not feeling ve'eshboch es nafshi, we're not feeling that our souls are being poured out before Hashem, there's something wrong with our tefillah. Our tefillah is deficient, because this is what tefillah is all about. Continues the Navi, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Al titen es amoscha lifnei bas b'liyal. So here Chana says, listen, don't send me back to that evil person, meaning Penina. Because remember, Penina used to chepper her and make her feel badly that she didn't have any children. She's saying, please don't send me back there. Don't send me back to Penina. And she's, in a sense, apologizing, says Rashi. I feel badly that I just spoke harshly to you, because she was speaking a little bit harshly to Eli. And Eli, remember, was the Kohen Gadol. He was the Shofet. According to Chazal, he had just been appointed Shofet that day. And Chana is saying, I know I just spoke harshly to you, I apologize. But it's not coming from a bad place, it's coming just from pain. I'm speaking to you from pain. And another important lesson, so many important lessons for us. You know, that sometimes people speak harshly to us, and we get all upset, we get defensive, we get angry in response. But in reality, where is it coming from? It's not coming from any bad place. It's coming from, Ki merov sichi v'chasi, dibarti adhena. It's coming from a place of pain. And so often, if we recognize where the speech is coming from, where the comments are coming from, and we focus on that, focus on the source, don't focus so much on what was said, but on where it's coming from, we can do so much more good and so much less damage. But she says, I'm childless, I'm in pain, this is where it's coming from, and she's apologizing. Continues the Navi, Pasuk Yitzayin, Vaya'an Eli Vayomer Lechila Shalom. So Eli accepts her explanations, he accepts even her rebuke, it sounds like, and he certainly accepts her apology. And he says, Lechila Shalom, which is a nice phrase, essentially, go in peace. Right, go in peace. Ve'lokei Yisrael yiten es she'la seich, asher sha'alt me'imo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Yisrael, should grant you your request, the request that you're asking of Him. Now, it's interesting, he says, Ve'lokei Yisrael. Says the Malbim that the name of Hashem, Ve'lokei Yisrael, always implies Hashem's divine providence, implies Hashem's special hashgacha. And essentially what Eli is telling her, according to the Malbim, remember the Malbim's approach, and he says, since you're davening to Hashem alone, you're not davening to an intermediary. It's a higher level to daven, of course, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since you're davening directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone, you're singling Him out, so He should also single you out. And He should act with you with specific, unique, divine providence, Hashgacha Pratis, and grant you a child based on your request. Yiten a she'la seich. The word she'la seich is strange, because normally, if we wanted to write she'la seich, your request, we would write it with an aleph, shin aleph lamed. But here, the aleph is missing. Rashi says the aleph is missing to hint to the word shilia, which means the placenta of a woman, which hints to the fact that you're going to give birth to a child. The Radak also says that she'la seich implies shalal, which is the spoils. And symbolizes that the child that you're going to bear, that you're going to bring into this world, will take spoils from the Torah. That he'll learn so much Torah, he'll gain so much from the Torah. It's almost like taking spoils of war, that he's going to gain so much from the Torah. Now, what was Eli saying to her? So Rashi and the Radak both say that there are two interpretations here. Either Eli was davening for her, and he was uttering a tefillah, Yitein Sheila Seich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant your request. Or some said that Eli was giving her a nevuah, Eli was prophesying and saying, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to grant your request. Not that he was davening. Pasuk Yud Ches, V'atomer timtza shivchascha chein be'einecha. So she turns to Eli and she says, please, allow me to find favor in your eyes. So say the Mefarshim, explain the Mefarshim, that if Eli was davening for her, she's saying, please continue to daven for me. And if Eli was giving her a nevuah, she was essentially saying, thank you. I thank you so much. I appreciate your nevuah. I'm looking forward to its fulfillment. And she went on her way, and she ate, and her face was not the same anymore. Pashup shot in the pasuk. What's being said here is that she was happy. Either again because Eli was davening for her, Eli gave her this nevuah. She hadn't eaten. We learned earlier in the perek, she wasn't eating properly because of her anguish and her pain. Vatochal, she eats. She feels much better. Right? She feels excited. You know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give her a child. So she eats. She restores her health. Ufaneha lo hayu la'od. And many of the Mefarshim explain that her face, which all you saw when you saw Chana's face until this point, was pain and anguish, tears, constantly bloodshot eyes. Ufaneha lo hayu la'od. Her face totally changed. Her face, there was no pain or anguish anymore. Because Eli was davening for her, Eli was giving her a nevuah, she was going to have a child. Chazal say that implicit in this pasuk also is already the first steps of her having a child. Vatelecha isha ledarka, explain Chazal, means that she once again began to have her regular menstrual period. That until this point, her regular cycle was off. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu she wasn't able to have children. Vatelecha isha ledarka, that she resumed her regular menstrual cycle, and she saw right away, right after her tefillah, she recognized, oh my gosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting the pieces into place. I see that I'm going to be able to have a child. Ufanea lo hayu la'od, and also that her anguish, Chazal say, was physically affecting her, that she wasn't as beautiful as she normally would have been because of everything that she was going through, because of the sickness, of the pain, and the anguish. Ufanea lo hayu la'od, miraculously, her face became much more beautiful, the way that she really looked. So they got up early the next morning and they bowed down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again out of thanks because they got this nevuah or they have this tefillah of Eli. So they're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for what you're about to do. They return, Elkana, Chana, and the whole family return home to Ramah, to their home. Vayeda Elkana eschana ishto, as we know the language of Tanakh, that Elkana and Chana are together, and she becomes pregnant, Vayizkereha Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers her, and she becomes pregnant. Pasuk Chaf, Vayihili Skufos HaYomim. And it was after Chazal explained this wording, strange wording, Tkufos HaYomim. So Chazal say that she was only pregnant for 6 months and 2 days. Tekufos. Tekufa is 3 months, so Tekufos was two of them, so it was 6 months, and Yamim is two, so 6 months and 2 days. Shmuel was born prematurely, but Baruch Hashem, he was okay. But we'll see a little bit more about that in a moment. Vatahar Chana, Vateled Bein, right? She was pregnant, she had a child, a young boy. Vatikra es Shemo Shmuel ki me Hashem she'iltiv, and she called him Shmuel, because she asked of him, she requested him from Hashem. The Mefarshim say that in the name you see several things. Shaul Mekel, that he was requested from God, that Shmuel is Shaul Mekel. So you kind of read it, you know, twice. Shaul Mekel, that he was requested from God. Rashi says that you see the Shem Kel, you see the name of Hashem. You also see the Shem, it's Al Shem Sha'al, it's because I asked. It's because I asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this child. That's why he was granted to me. So you see the power of tefillah is inherent in Shmuel's own name. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayal ha'ish Elkana v'chol beisol lizboach la'Hashem ezevach hayomim v'esnidro. So the next yontiv, the pasuk says, Shmuel and his his family go back up to Shiloh, back up Aliyah l'regel at yontiv, to bring the karbanos of the yontiv, to bring any of the nedarim and nedavos, the voluntary karbanos that he had promised. Some of the mafarshim say he had promised these karbanos because of the great nace that happened. He, Baruch Hashem, had a son with Chana. Here it's interesting that the Malbim points out it doesn't say vayishtachavu here, even though earlier in the parak it did. because even though they still, of course, davened when they got to Shiloh, but they didn't daven with the same intensity because all of those previous tefillos were all for Chana to have a child. Baruch Hashem, she did have a child. But interestingly, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Chana didn't come. V'chana lo alasa, she did not come up, ki amra li isha, adi gomel hanar v'havi osiv. Chana says, I want to first finish nursing this child and then bring him up. V'nires p'nei Hashem v'yoshav sham ad olam. Chana says, I don't want to bring him up yet. Some of the Mefarshim say that he was a little bit weak. Remember, he was born prematurely, only at 6 months. He was a little bit weak. And Chana said, I want to first nurse him, make sure he has his strength. And also, as soon as I bring him to the Mishkan, he's got to stay. If you remember, Chana dedicated him from birth to the Mishkan. So Chana says, he needs me, I need to nurse him. So I'm going to nurse him until that time. So Rashi says 22 months, the Radak says 24 months, but until that time when he's done nursing, and then I'm going to bring him to the Mishkan. But once he comes to the Mishkan, he's going to be there ad olam. Interestingly here, ad olam literally means forever, but ad olam, some say, means for the olam of a Levi. The Levim retired at 50, and we know that Shmuel died at 52, because he came to the Mishkan at 50, and he stayed there for 50 years. This is one of those examples where perhaps she spoke a little bit too much, and she maybe shouldn't have said that. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayomer lo Elkana Isha, Asi Atov Be'inayich, whatever you think is right, that's what you should do. Shevi Ad Gomlecho, so sit and finish nursing him. Ach Yakem Hashem Es Devaro, Hashem should make what you're saying and what Eli Davin for you come true, that this child should live and should survive and should be somebody big. Vateshev ha'isha vateinek esbina ad gamla oso, and she sits and she nurses this child until he's done again 22, 24 months. Last couple of psukim. Vata'alehu ima ka'asher gamalatu befarim shlosha ve'efa achas kemach. Finally, when he's done nursing after 2 years, she brings him up with these karbanos, with a mincha, v'nevel yayin for the nesachim v'atviyehu beis Hashem Shiloh v'hanar nar. She brings him up to Shiloh v'hanar nar. Some say that it means that he's young, he's 2 years old, but some say he was precocious. He was very precocious. He was a unique young man, and we'll explain a little bit more perhaps next week about that. Vayishchatu es hapar v'yaviu es hanar el eli. So they shecht this karban, right? They bring this karban and they shecht the karban. They bring the child to Eli, and we'll talk next week. There's a fascinating Gemara about this exchange, which we'll discuss next week. Vatomer bi Adoni, and she says, "Please, my master, Eli, chei nafshecha Adoni, ani ha'isha nitzeves imcha bazel ispalel Hashem. I'm the one who davened. Remember, I'm the one who davened. You were waiting, and you asked me afterwards. I'm that woman who davened." El Hanar Hazeis Palalti. This is the kid that I was davening for. Vayitain Hashem li Sheila Asiya Kadosh Baruch Hu granted my request, Asher Sha'alti Meimo, that I requested of him. Vegamanochi Hishiltiu La Hashem Kolayamim Asher Hoya. And she says, and here he is. I'm giving him now to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu Sha'u La Hashem. I'm giving him over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayishtachu Sham La Hashem. And they bow down there to Hashem. You see, again, we'll talk about these last few psukim a little bit more in Mitzvah Hashem next week. But you see also that this was completely altruistic. This wasn't for her. This wasn't a selfish thing. At 2 years old, she brought Shmuel to the Mishkan, and she said, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's yours. Thank you for giving him to me. And it's just a schus to be able to have a child that's going to serve you with such dedication. Mitzvah Hashem will pick up next week with a little bit more about the end of that perek.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining. I hope you could hear me. If you do hear me,